Thank you, Sandy, and all the parents that contributed to that, and all the sweet faces of grandkids. And figuring out that number is just to praise the Lord. So that's really, really neat. And my book part in the wrong spot. There we go. There's a story, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I love to tell, that fits kind of appropriately with our sermon today. It was a foggy night on the ocean, and a large battleship, as far as I know, was moving through a certain tight area, and there was a light that appeared up ahead. And the battleship radioed, "This is the battleship Wisconsin," not sure what the name was. "I want you to move 5 degrees to the port." And they waited a little while, and the light responded, "You move 5 degrees to the starboard." And they reported again, says, "This is the radio man on the battleship Wisconsin. We command you, move 5 degrees to the port." And he responded back, "This is Ensign First Class Bill Smith," or whatever his name was. "You move 5 degrees to the starboard." And then he said, "Do you understand? This is the admiral now," whoever that admiral was, the captain of this battleship. "I have commanded you, you move 5 degrees to the port." And the light and the radio answers back, "This is Ensign so-and-so. I'm in a lighthouse. You move 5 degrees to the starboard." Now, the point ultimately is there are certain points in life that don't move. We think we can command them to move. We think we have authority over them, but we don't realize they're stationary points put there for a purpose. Now, in this tale or the account of the lighthouse and the large ship, it isn't very complicated. And the authority for no matter what rank you are, whether you're the admiral or the captain of a battleship, or whether you're just a regular old ensign or private or whatever you want to be called in that lighthouse, the fact that your word is solid, correct, true, unmovable, the lighthouse, you keep coming in this direction, you will destroy yourself. That becomes something we have to understand. The topic today is an interesting one because the topic is law. Law is an easy thing to talk about in one sense. Pastors love preaching law. Do this, do that, or else. Amen. All right? The do's and don'ts of law are part of what people sometimes are actually comfortable doing because then I compare myself to this guy or that girl or whoever it is, and I go, well, compared to him or her, my do's and don'ts list, I do a lot more better and a lot more do's than they do. And so I can even feel good about that. So law kind of gives me this opportunity to do these comparisons. And those comparisons then create for me some really difficult situations. Well, there is a situation in Timothy, as Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor in this area, in the congregation that we're talking about at Ephesus. Ephesus is a larger ancient city, probably pushing up to 300,000 people. And you got to remember, a place like Bethlehem probably had 60. So you have to understand size is relational. We now think of a city with 1 million or 5 million or 20 million people. But proportionately, these were large cities. But here, Paul is preaching or talking to Timothy, and Timothy is being warned that there are false teachers out there. They want to destroy your work, Timothy. They want to destroy your people, Timothy. They want to give you some additional rules so you can look at your people and complain. I hope you all tithe, because if you're not tithing, God's going to get you this week. I like that law, especially if I'm going to make an extra $10. on my paycheck, as I just commanded, a law to you. And I realize how easy law can be for a preacher to preach or people to use. And here's the other sad part about law. You can manipulate them. You can pull them from one direction to another. If you're not praying regularly, you're not really saved. How many of you pray regularly? How many of you could not be praying more? Anyone want to raise their hand and imply they're doing everything that God expects them to do and they're doing it perfectly? And you begin to understand how law, rather than being useful, steps in and becomes something you can almost break yourself on. The lighthouse is unbelievably practical, useful, beneficial, but it won't move. God's laws don't move. I don't give you permission to hate one another. I don't give you permission to not forgive one another. There is no forgiveness in that statement. God says, I'll forgive you the way you forgive one another. You pray it in the Lord's Prayer. And I go, we don't always realize the power of an immovable law and then the reality of this person, this heart, this attitude, this body that wanders all over the place shouting at the lighthouse, you move, I'm not going to move. What I'm really telling is, God, I don't like your rules. I want you to give me a different set of rules. I want you to make it different than this. And I end up doing that kind of behavior. And it sounds absolutely foolish when I tell you about a ship and a lighthouse built on a rock, and you begin to go, don't hit the lighthouse, you're going to die. Okay? And the same thing happens whether we like it or not with law. But the miracle of the law that Paul brings up here to Timothy is this point, and he brings it out here in these verses as we start to look at them. It says, the goal of this command is love, starting at verse 5 there. Well, what command? I command you, Timothy, tell the people, don't listen to certain people that start telling you laws. Did you worship on the Sabbath day? Or did you not worship on the Sabbath day? Oh, how many of you weren't faithful when it came to, and then you fill in the black, or the blank, honor your father and your mother. Ooh. You terrible children, you terrible adults, right? And you begin to go, law has this power, and it's meant to. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says, listen, Timothy, I want you to call people out when they start using law the wrong way. When they start telling you it's faith and then you must do this too. It's faith and something else in addition. And so when you hear that, you call them out because verse 5 said the goal of this command is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Those three marks of a Christian who gets it and understands. Is my heart pure? No. It has been made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is my faith sincere? No. It's inconsistent and faulty. But the blood of Jesus Christ moves me, calls me, blesses me with an ability to speak with sincere faith. Dear Lord, forgive me for my inconsistencies. Are any of you perfect in marriage? Are you the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect child? Do you want the Lord or the parent or the adult or the husband or the wife to determine whether or not I love you this week based upon your performance today, not including attitudes, behavior, moods, hormones, and all the other 101 things that we can be dealing with? Well, we come back, no. And you begin to understand, Timothy, you've got to warn the people. Don't let anyone manipulate them. Don't let them take a law, which is good, laws which God has given, lighthouses which God has put in place to help you move through life in directions where you don't land on the rocks. When it tells you don't commit adultery, it is a point of a rock. Don't do that to yourself. It doesn't turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. Don't lie, cheat, steal, or behave in certain ways, it is going to be known, found out, and exposed. It doesn't turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. One day your children will look at you. One day your wife, your husband will look at you and say, have you been lying to me? One day someone will find out, is that the kind of person Rabbi Zacharias was? We're all capable of that. Don't point your finger at him. Don't point your finger at somebody else you're thinking of. Just point your finger at yourself, because ultimately this is meant to take us to a point where we begin to understand this very point. Sincere faith, good conscience, pure heart. You think for a second my heart is pure? I'm happy when I make it 7 minutes, 4 minutes, a minute and a half. All it takes is a thought to come racing into my head. Somebody give me a look or not look at me. Someone who races something through, or a word that's spoken, or something I see on the screen. Or did you notice I had more pictures up there than all of you? Sandy leaned over and said, I won. I said, well, I'm working on the kids to keep going, but they don't listen. But you understand, we're all capable in the most innocent, pure, wonderful presentations to get into those kinds of attitudes and moods. So it goes on, it says, some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Can I quote you the law, the commandments of God? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's easy. I can preach it real easy. But ultimately, there's no power in law. Law is only useful, I shared that last Sunday, when it's combined with fear. When do you obey the speed limit? When I see the police officer up ahead. When I'm found out. When certain things line up, then I begin to line up and demonstrate some sincerity or some consistency. And so here the point ultimately is this. You can have a lot of meaningless talk. And it goes, what good does that do you? Do you want to compare yourself and the goodness in your life compared to your wife? You know, I'm a lot more sincere when I talk than when you talk. And I don't act so emotionally like you do. Well, and then you have another one, and you go back and forth. We're all capable of those useless arguments when we're having a fight about who we are and how we want to represent ourselves. We can have kids talking back to their parents going, I don't have to listen to you. Well, what makes you think that's okay to say? The wickedness of your heart. You just hit the rocks. You're slammed into the lighthouse. And you think you're going to walk away with not getting hurt? God says, if you honor father and mother, I will bless you. Guess what? Here's law. If you don't honor them, you're under a curse. Brace yourself. You will be found out. All things will be brought out into the light. Is God saying that because he hates you? No. This is the lighthouse operator. Don't do this to your life. It ruins it. It moves you in a direction that you may never recover from. What did it say? Some people have wandered away from these things and ended up in meaningless chatter and talk, thinking they can live and act and behave any way they want, and they're not going to pay a price for it. The battleship, no matter how big it was, slamming into the rocks or the reef or the barrier or whatever it is, was going to go down. The size of the ship did not matter. The quality of what was going on the ship did not matter. It was going down because it was ruining its own life because the person in charge of it was not listening. And so law teaches you there is a lighthouse. It's called the law. Every one of you knows what the lighthouse is. Every one of you can recite most of the commandments. Every one of you can at least look them up somewhere. Every one of you needs to understand you can't behave contrary to the lighthouse, because in doing so, you will destroy your walk with the Lord. You will destroy your walk with your family. You will destroy people around you. And so it goes on to the next point. We know the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made for not, is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels. You understand? If you don't think about stealing the person's wallet in front of you, I don't have to make a law in church. Please don't steal the wallet of the person in front of you. If you obey your mom and dad, I don't have to make a law. Do you know how many commandments there were when the world started? Can you recite it? Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Can you recite commandment number 2 and 3? Do you know why he had to add more? Because of the wickedness of men's hearts. If you read Scripture and start noticing when the commands finally come in, and Mount Sinai, many, many, up to 1,000-plus years later, finally come in. The commandments come in. You want to know why? Because of the wickedness of the people. Don't marry multiple wives. Don't commit adultery. Don't behave that way with animals. You go, why would God have to make a law like that? Because people are so wicked, so capable of destroying one another and destroying life and all the things that they can do. They need the commands and the directives. All right, I'll put up a lighthouse there. I thought you could see it. I'll put up another lighthouse here. I'll guide you through your life. I'll take you when you're young. You mean even a 1, 2, 3, 5, 10-year-old can figure out the laws? They know them. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't treat people the way you don't want to be treated. How complicated is it? You can ask the littlest kid, would you like people to do that to you? No. You want me to push you down every time I feel like it? No. Then don't push your sister down. Don't push your brother down. That's how clear law is. It's so simple, and yet we fight it so thoroughly, and we battle against it. So he goes on from that point, and he has this list. Lawbreakers and rebels, ungodly, sinful, unholy, irreligious, those who kill fathers and mothers, those who are murderers, adulterers, homosexuals, slave traders, liars and perjurers, and whatever is contrary to sound doctrine. People go, oh, it's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Those are all listed there. And I want you to know they go from just what we consider little sins to as big a sin as you want to name. Killing a parent? Killing your own mother or father? Killing people you say you love? People who have invested themselves and preserved your life? Did it really say, yeah, it says homosexuals. Men sleeping with men. That's what it says. It's not hidden in the Bible. It says, I don't want you to go in that direction. Okay? Am I prone to sin? Yes. Am I prone to lie, cheat, and steal? Yes. Just because we're prone in a certain direction to sin doesn't make the sin okay. It doesn't make it acceptable because I was, here's the lie, born that way. Do you understand? I'll tell you how you were born. You were born with a sinful heart, an attitude that loves doing what you feel like doing and rejects everything that God tells you to do. That's what you were born with. And so here he finishes this list out and he goes, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, verse 11 then, that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he's entrusted to me. Timothy had this unbelievably difficult job. How do I save people from coming under law? Because law makes us comfortable. You know, I don't speed like most of you do. But I'm not a liar. Wait, I am a liar and I do speed sometimes. Do you understand? What God's calling us to is don't fall for that junk. The law is good. It's like a lighthouse on a rock. It preserves your life. It will take your marriage to good things rather than wicked things. It'll guard your life no matter how young or old you are. It will help you be successful and move forward in your life. You will do the things that I'm calling you to do with the byproduct of blessings upon blessing in your life. The law is good, but you have to use it properly. We have to learn how to let the law speak to our heart. We have to learn how to let God's Spirit lead us. The gospel says, I have come for you. I have loved you. I died for your sins. I want to take you eternally to heaven with me. Let me fill your heart with my Holy Spirit till you begin to see, feel, and live the way I'm calling you to live. The gospel is God has done for me. The law is you must do for yourself, for God, for whatever the law wants to say. Law is not bad. It guides you through your life. It'll move you in directions you shouldn't be walking in. You got an unbelievable chance this morning. What lighthouse are you ready to slam into? Do you think I can look at a congregation and don't think there are liars, cheats, and thieves tempted by all kinds of things? Here, toke this, whatever we want to say. What, we're the only people in the world that struggle with alcohol and other drugs? What, you think we're all holy and righteous? The answer is no. Let the lighthouse warn you. Let it call you out, and then put your trust back in the Lord Jesus. Pray with me if you would. Lord, for the gift of the day, thank you. For the mercy you show to us every day, thank you. For the gift of yourself and this meal we're about to receive, thank you, Lord. Come and bless us all. Help us to appreciate parents and grandparents. And as parents and grandparents, help us to love and appreciate our children and our grandchildren and the blessing of children and other people's families in all the right kind of ways. Come and fill us with your grace and encouragement. Come and bless us all. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.